you with a godly jealousy. In other words, the Apostle Paul was concerned about the church there at Corinth, and I do believe tonight the church at Corinth was a church just like Mount Calvary tonight. I believe that she had the authority to do the work of the Lord just like this church does, just like any other church that belongs to the Lord. And Paul was concerned about her, and I want you to know that he wanted the best for her. And I want you to know tonight that no doubt your pastor wants the best for you. Not only that, the Lord wants the best for you here at Mount Calvary tonight as well. Amen. Just like at Faith and anywhere else, my home church, the Lord wants the best for all of them. Now we find here then that Paul said, "For I have espoused you to one husband." Now tonight I know there's many different ideas about the church, and I mentioned some time ago, this morning, about the counterfeit church there in the book of Revelation. And truly, if there's a counterfeit, and there is, then there's got to be the Lord's church. And I'm a member of Lula Missionary Baptist Church in Springfield, Tennessee, and I believe tonight that that church belongs to the Lord. I believe tonight that the church that Jesus built has been traced by her doctrine and by her practice, which is the Lord's doctrine and practice down through time. And I believe we can identify that church today by her doctrine, her practice. Maybe not the name of the door, but her doctrine and her practice, and also she has the authority to do the work of the Lord. Now Paul said here he presented her, or was going to present her as a chaste virgin to the Lord. Now I believe tonight, and some would disagree with me, but I believe that this marriage between Christ and the church, and if you go back in the Old Testament over there in the Song of Solomon, the Song of Solomon is about the marriage that's between, or going to be between, about the groom and the bride, between Christ and His church is what it's about. There's nothing unclean about the Song of Solomon. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful picture. And tonight, if you're a member of Mount Calvary Church, or if you're a member of an old-time Baptist church in this world, you need to be proud of that. You need to be glad of that. And you need to understand that you espouse them to the Lord. Now, that's what we need to understand. Now, as we go on with this thought here, we find here then, as we think about this, that, and look at this, in the Scriptures, there was the Jewish wedding. Now, I don't claim tonight to be an authority on the Jewish wedding. I've done some studying on it. But I'll tell you tonight, Jesus and the Apostle Paul, on the inspiration of the Spirit of God, took the custom of the Jewish wedding and used that to set up how you and I then, as members of the church that Jesus built, how we are espoused. Now, I want you to understand something here. There is some, and you may be one of them. If you are, that's okay, that believes that Christ and the church is already married. Now, I don't believe that. And I'll tell you the reason I don't believe that. If you do, that's your prerogative. But the reason I don't, tonight, I want to know how, in the name of God, you can marry an incomplete bride. The bride is not complete. The bride will not be complete until eternity gets here. Amen. The bride then, the Son of God. And I won't say this tonight. People in this world need to understand one thing. Just because your name is on the roll of a church, that don't mean that you'll make the bride when this life's over. Now, as we go on with that thought, we find here in the Scriptures now, we won't go back over here in the Old Testament just for a few moments of time. We want to look at something here, and I want to try, by the help of the Lord, to use these Scriptures and try to present something to you tonight that's real precious, if you'll just think about it. It'll make you, if you'll just think about it, it'll make you appreciate the church. It'll make you appreciate the Lord. It'll make you appreciate your salvation. It'll make you want to do for the one hand that has done so much for you, that's done it all for us. And that's the Lord. He's done everything for us. Now we find here, as we go back over in the Old Testament here, in that 24th chapter of Genesis, we find the Bible says here, now, Abraham in that first verse, and Abraham, 24:1, was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Personally, I believe Abraham got saved over there in the 15th chapter of Genesis in about that 5th verse. Now, some disagree with me on that, but you can turn over there and read that. It said that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Well, that's what happened to me on that July night in 1976 when the Lord saved my soul. The Lord give me His righteousness.
Amen.
Now, what we got here tonight is Abraham. Now I want to say this before we go any further. Paul said over there one time in the 1 Corinthians letter in about that 7th chapter, he said, let every woman have her own husband, and every man have his own wife. And Abraham here, and in the Jewish custom, it was the father usually that picked out a wife for the son. Now that's part of the Jewish custom on that. I'm not an authority on it. That's usually the way it happened. If in this case here, Abraham wasn't able at that time to go and to his kindred. Now the reason why that Abraham wanted this servant to go to his own kindred, his own people, the main reason was because of religious circumstances. In other words, he didn't want Isaac to marry somebody that didn't know a thing about the Lord. Now that has happened, and I don't mean that you shouldn't do that, because the Lord's able to save everybody and anybody. But tonight, it was Abraham's idea, and I think Abraham was operating according to the story of the leadership of God's Spirit. It all turned to come about in such a way that was pleasing in the eyes of God, far as Rebekah was concerned, far as Isaac was concerned, and it's kind of like it was in the book of Genesis over there. God made Adam, and then He made a help meet for him. He made a woman for Adam. Amen. Eve wasn't made for nobody else. She was made for Adam. We find Rebecca was made for Isaac. And I want you to know tonight, the church that Jesus built, brother, is made for Him.
Amen.
And not nobody else.
Amen.
Now we find here, this servant here then, evidently know the Lord, because on his way there, he began to talk to the Lord. And of course, the story is there that Rebecca come there to draw water, so on and so forth. And I tell you what, let me read this scripture to you here then. You see, Abraham was trying to follow the Lord. That's what it's about, is trying to please God in this life. If you've been saved by God's grace, then we need to try to please the Lord. If we'll do that, it'll be so much better for us. If we don't do that, then we'll have trouble in this life.
Amen.
It's very important. A lot of our people, Baptist people, don't understand that. A lot of young people don't understand that. This, we're living in a society this day and time where it's what I want, when I want it, and I want it right now. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I want it 2 weeks ago. Very selfish society. But I'll tell you tonight, it's better to please the Lord. It's better to be in a relationship and fellowship with the Lord. If you've been saved, you're in relationship with Him.
Amen.
Now the question is, how close are we to Him, to be in fellowship with Him? Now, this servant was real close to the Lord. Now let me read this scripture to you. You see, Abraham couldn't go, so he sent a matchmaker. I want you to know there's been people that's been sent of God to matchmake. You believe that? I do. Now listen, there's, I guess when I read in the reading lesson, one of the first matchmakers, if you want to term it, that he was the forerunner, was John the Baptist. He come preaching the gospel, the Son of the living God. He said, in those days came John the Baptist. Now the Father sent him. The Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He come preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and I will say to you that that wilderness there was not a wilderness out there as far as a place that was deserted like a desert or like some woods, but it's talking about the wilderness of sin in people's hearts. And I tell you what, out here on Knowlesville Road, brother, there's a wilderness of sin out there, and the only way it'll ever be turned around is if them people hears about Jesus. There needs to be fruit brought forth there. There's not no fruit in a lost person's heart. Lost people can't bring no forth no work. They can do some moral work. But as far as bringing forth work that's pleasing the eyes of God, they can't, because they haven't been saved by God's grace. Now listen. So he came. What did John come for? He was the forerunner. He was sent to make ready what a people, wasn't he?
Amen.
That's what the Bible said. He was a child of promise, so to speak. Lisbon was bad. His father, Zacharias, was struck dumb there. And when we find then when the time come, he was born there. The Bible said, previous to that, when Mary visited there, in the scriptures over there, that the babe leaped in the womb there because the mother of the Lord had come. Then people knew. Lisbon knew. Mary knew that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That baby she was carrying, Mary was carrying, was the Son of God. She knew that. She knew that was her Lord. She knew that. Elizabeth knew that. Now I want you to know then, as we go over this thought there then, this man came to make ready a people, and he did. And then the Lord, he baptized them, the Bible said, and it's Baptist doctrine, it's the truth, it'll stay up. It's the same thing any true Baptist church has ever done. They'll ask for a testimony of a travel from nature to grace before they'll take anybody and baptize them. Listen, that's precious, that's true, it's not going to change. If it ever does, you're in trouble. It has changed there in Springfield, Tennessee, to a lot of places. Brother, they're in trouble. Because I tell you what you'll get. You'll get people's not saved. We get enough, it's not saved anyhow. You believe that? I do. I believe there's sometimes people deceive themselves and they think they've got what they need and they don't. And therefore then they don't have it and they don't realize about it. The good thing about it is if they're coming to church, most of the time the Lord will get a hold of them and make them realize they don't have what they got. And I've got personal experience with that, with a girl that was at Greenfield. She thought she had what she wanted, what she needed, and that what she wanted was heartfelt salvation, but she joined the church and she was as lost as she could be, because about 3 months later, she got saved at home. It was an honest mistake. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with making an honest mistake, is there? So she come back, took courage on her part, said she got saved, and we took her and baptized her. Then she got scriptural baptism that time. First time she got wet. But listen then, be that as it might be, we find here John made that, prepared that material. The Lord took that material then, and I believe on the top of the mountain over there, as the Bible said in Psalm 72:16, I don't got a problem with other people who believe different things on that. I personally believe it's on the mountain. You can believe it's down by the seashore if you want to. I got no problem with that. The main thing is the Lord took that material and organized the church.
Amen.
The church of Jerusalem. And that first church was made up of Jewish people that had been saved by God's grace. Well, most of them had. Judas hadn't. And Judas was as lost as he could be. And yes, he was part of it. He was in it. He's counted part of it. He had his name on the roll. He held an office there in that church. If you doubt that's right, you read the first chapter of Acts, and you'll find he held an office there in the church, and the church had the authority to replace him, and they did. They chose another apostle over there, and you can read about that in the first chapter of Acts. Now, so John prepared the material. There's been people, been preparing, getting people, preaching to people down through time, telling them about Jesus. Ever since the church is set up down to this present time. And it will still go on then. Now I may have got ahead of myself just a little bit, but it's the way it comes, so that's the way I've got to go with it. So Lord, then where we're at right now, we're in the betrothal time is where we're at. That's exactly where we're at. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit again, I guess. The betrothal, I've often called it an engagement. Well, it's likened to engagement, but it's a lot more different. It's a more serious thing with the Jewish people. And I'm going to try to get into that a little bit. You know, this betrothal, it was binding. It was so binding then, and we'll say this. It's not like it is today. Today, and boy, I tell you, this is going to be different right here. Listen, today, it don't matter with people today, and it's what's got to come. Listen, it don't matter with people today whether the woman or the man is still a virgin or not. It don't matter with them. But it's supposed to be.
Amen.
The bride's supposed to be a virgin. Now, if you doubt that's right, you can turn over to the 22nd chapter of Deuteronomy. Yeah. The husband, the groom, is supposed to be a virgin. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Supposed to be that way. That's what Mary and Joseph were. Far as I know, I can safely say this, that Mary and Joseph, listen, I'm talking about the Mary that bore Jesus this world. I know she was a virgin. I'm pretty sure Joseph was. I don't think God would have chose Joseph to be the Lord's stepfather if he hadn't been. Now, I know Mary was. No doubt about that. They were betrothed. They weren't married yet. That's the reason why when the news come, the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary there. And the Bible teaches us, the Lord told her, the angel Gabriel did, the Lord using the angel Gabriel said, that holy thing or holy child which is going to be born to thee shall be called the Son of God. That's God's only begotten Son. Listen, if God says it's right, brother. Now, he's condemning sin. But she hadn't known no man. Did you know tonight in this world that we're living in, engagements don't matter about nothing. Did you know tonight, and I need to turn and give you a scripture here, and y'all do continue to pray for us in the book of Deuteronomy in the 22nd chapter, and I'll try in just a moment of time to get back to Jesus here, but I'm going to show you tonight how binding that is. Listen, the betrothal between Christ and His church, brother, it's binding tonight.
Amen.
It needs to be took serious with the church. With the members of the church. Now you listen to this. 22 and 23 in the book of Deuteronomy. It said here, and you can read back up in here, and I'll tell you what, when they got married over there, they wanted proof now. There had to be proof. You can read about the proof in this scripture preceding this verse here. I don't reckon I'll read it, but listen. There was what was called the tokens of virginity. They wanted proof that she was a virgin. If she wasn't, she's in trouble.
Yeah.
Trouble. Not only she was in trouble, but the man was in trouble too. Listen, it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing tonight. It's not counted too serious in this world, but it's serious.
Amen.
Now you listen to this right here. He said, if a damsel as a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in his city and lie with her, brother, that's happening all the time in Nashville, Tennessee tonight. Every day that goes by, there's no telling how many women's molested, women is raped, and so on and so forth, and there's murder, and there's all kinds of things, but let me tell you, tonight it was serious in that day.
Amen.
It's serious today, it ought not be. It's sin's what it is. And it's the devil's what it is. And we need to, it shouldn't be that way. And there ought to be something done to help end that. And I know what needs to be done. Listen, but listen what this says here. And a man find her in the city and lie with her. Now it's talking about having a physical knowledge of her, a sexual knowledge of her. And it goes on, then you shall bring them both unto the gate of the city, and you shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put evil away from among you. That betrothal was so binding, it was said to this one that forced himself upon her. In this case, probably didn't force himself, but be that as it might be, in this case he didn't. But listen, it was said that he had humbled his neighbor's wife. In other words, she was counted as the man's wife. Mary was counted as Joseph's wife. And that's the reason why Joseph said he was mine to put her away privily. In other words, in private. You know why? Because if they found out she'd been unfaithful to him, even though they hadn't consummated the marriage and it wasn't final yet, they'd have stoned her. That's what they'd have done. They'd have stoned her sure as her name was Mary. Now you listen here what he's saying. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and a man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man rise against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. So in other words, on the damsel, the young virgin girl, and that man had forced himself, she was clear of it. There was none to save her. But boy, they took care of the one that forced himself on her. He won't be forcing himself on nobody else. They took care of him. That's how binding the Jewish custom of marriage was. We need to understand that. Now, getting back over here in the book of Genesis, in the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis over here, we find here this servant went to, began to pray in that 12th verse. He said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Now, Abraham had taught Eleazar, and that's who it was, I think, very well. He taught him about the Lord, the man was saved, and he is praying that this errand he was on, this what Abraham would give him do, he'd have good speed in it. Good success. Find a bride for Isaac. That's what he was about. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, the Father in heaven, we find then, I'm going to get some scripture. What does scripture say in the Ephesian letter? That he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I think that's Ephesians 1 and 4. Now what that simply means tonight is this, that the Lord knew what you'd do with the gospel when you heard it. He knows who will be saved. He knows who won't be saved. He knows where you're rejected and not listen to it, or where you'll receive it. Act upon it, repent and believe. The Lord knows.
Amen.
It ain't predetermined you do it, because it's your own free will that you either seek the Lord or you don't. But the Lord died for everybody. But the Lord knew. So, in that sense, the Lord is still choosing. This church, the Bible said one time, here I'm going to get back to this in a minute, Jesus said over there, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. That rock is Jesus Christ. It ain't Peter tonight. It's Jesus Christ. Peter ain't much to build a church upon. If he was, he's like me. He said one time, he said, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. Wouldn't that be something to build a church upon? Peter's like me. He made his mistakes. He was an apostle, and I appreciate him. And he was a leader. And he proved himself time and time again. But he's not the rock. Jesus is. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. That church is still building tonight. Mount Calvary is still seeing the truth go out. Luther is still seeing the truth go out. People get saved. You baptize them. Brother, she's still building. Still matchmaking going on tonight. Your pastor is preaching. Every Sunday, we got preachers that's preaching. We got members that's trying to spread this word, to tell about their testimony. We're trying to influence people, get them saved. Trying to get them to understand then about their soul's condition. That's where it starts at, with their soul's condition. Get them saved. I'm talking about truly saved. I'm not talking about use this one time. I don't know if you're going to like it or not. I'm not talking about Billy Graham saved. I'm talking about Lord saved. Amen. I'm not talking about accepting Christ. I'm talking about repenting toward God and putting faith in Jesus Christ is what I'm talking about. Amen. Now you listen. So the Bible said here he prayed. And let me read this to you. Send me good speed and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be the one that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Therefore shall I know that thou showed kindness to my master. And I tell you what, God was in it.
Amen.
That's what needs to be in a marriage today. God needs to be in it. If God's not in it, it probably ain't going to last very long. But if God's in it, it'll last. If God's in it, you can overcome all the things that's going to happen. And I'm going to say this tonight. There's a scripture over in James that I learned a whole lot more about after I was married than before. The Bible said the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. That's in the book of James. And I'm telling you tonight, when you get upset about anything, you're not operating on the Spirit of God. You get mad, it's the devil's done took over. And I've done been there, and I've done that. And I've done had to apologize to my wife several times because of that sudden get on hold there. And so the best thing to do is not say anything, but don't let Satan get a hold. But I tell you what, this old flesh, brother, is hard to control, isn't it? It's the fight of battle every day, isn't it? Listen, young people, if you want a spouse, you let the Lord pair you up. If you let the Lord pair you up, it'll work. Listen, now I won't say this in addition to that. Even if the Lord pairs you up, you need to pull the same way. Listen now, Satan knows how to separate people. That's what his job is. That's the reason why it's happening so much. Satan wants to destroy the family. He's doing a good job of destroying the family. And I want you to know, we got to pull together. It's like those saying, the family that prays together stays together. You say, well, that's outdated. It ain't no such of a thing. It's not outdated a bit. It's probably outdated as far as the computer system, the iPods, and all these different things we got in this world today. But it'll work.
Amen.
It'll work. So what happened? Now, you believe in love at first sight, or actually before first sight. Well, that's what this was right here. Evidently, Rebecca knew the Lord too. And evidently, she knew that this one that she, as far as I know, had never seen Isaac. Never seen him. But boy, it worked. That's what God can do. Listen, have you, they're talking about the church here tonight at Mount Calvary. Have you ever laid eyes as far as your eyes on Jesus Christ? Well, certainly not. But boy, I laid eyes on him one night in July of 1976 by faith. And I tell you what, when he got there with that peace that night, it was a good thing.
Amen.
It's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I appreciate it more and more all the time. Yes, I do. So Rebecca here, to make a long story short, she agreed. Now I want to show you here. Listen here. Listen to this. We find then there's got to be a price paid. When a man goes to get the woman, in this case it was a servant, there had to be a price paid. Let me read it to you. And let me say something else. Most of the time, I think this is the right word for it, the wife's got a dowry that comes into play too, according to the Jewish custom. And that's custom today too. Listen, except in case of me and my wife, they told me when we signed the papers that half of what I had belonged to her, and I said, that's not a problem. Half of nothing is nothing. But be that as it might be, tonight we find here she had a little problem that come with her. Now you listen. Listen to what it said. 50th verse, we'll skip on down here. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, Laban is Rebekah, if I understand it right, it's Rebekah's brother, Bethuel is her dad. He said, this thing proceedeth from the Lord. Now boy, that's good when you know it's from the Lord. Boy, if you know your marriage is from the Lord, that's good stuff right there. Now you listen to this. He said, we cannot speak of thee good or bad. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowed himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Now there's the price right there. The master, the servant, beg your pardon, brought forth what Abraham sent for the price. Listen, now Rebekah, there was a price there for her too. She had to bring forth something. Wait, let me get a little farther here. You know what the price that Jesus done? You know the price that was paid? He gave his life, brother. For the church, that's what the Bible said by that 20th chapter of Acts. And let me turn and read this in your hearing. I think it's in the 20th chapter of Acts. I tell you what, and I'll make us proud to be a member of the church in Jesus' built. That's exactly what we're a member of. We're a member of the Lord's church tonight. I'll make us happy. I'll make us proud. We ought to want to go to church. Yes, we should. Listen to what it said. Acts 20 and 28, it said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Oh, listen, that Paul's talking to the church there at Ephesus at that time. And the scripture said here, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which you have purchased with his own blood. And I'm telling you what, tonight, the precious blood of the Son of God is a lot more valuable than gold, silver, or precious stones.
Amen.
That's what he paid for us with. That's what he done. And you might say, well, what'd we offer? If you've been saved, member of the church, what'd you offer? What'd you offer? I'm going to tell you what you had to offer. A broken heart and a contrite spirit is all you had to offer. You only had to offer to the Lord. Tonight I got saved was myself, a humble before the God, begging Him for heartfelt salvation. That's all I had to offer. That's all the, as it were, the dowry that I had. Now listen, this is the beginning of it. Alright, let's go a little farther here now. Okay, I'm thinking about this, so we find here in these scriptures here that Rebekah, let me turn back and read this. In this 24th chapter of Genesis, we're going to turn back here. I said, you believe in love before first sight? Let's turn back here. Now I want to show you some more here.
54th verse, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning. He said, send me away to my master.
Now this next verse is important.
Listen. And the Bible said, her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10, and after that she shall go. And to drop on down here in this scripture, we find there in that 63rd, 64th verse when Rebekah was coming back.
Now I want you to know, there had been some time passed here.
Yeah, been some time passed. How long?
Well, it's more than a few days. What we would term a few days, probably at least 10 months. As the Jewish custom, without in this case right here, that was overlooked. I'm going to put it that way. The Jewish custom was that when they become betrothed, there was about a year's waiting period before the marriage was finalized. A year's waiting period. If it wasn't waived there, and God can do what He wants to. You believe that? With God, all things is possible. That's what the Bible said. If He wanted Rebekah to go on down there, brother, and the Lord was in it, no problem. I don't care what the Jewish custom says. It don't matter what the tradition or custom says. If the Lord's in, He can do what He wants to do. It don't matter what we think about it. He can do what He wants to do. That goes for a lot more than just this marriage thing too, if the Lord's in it. Now you listen to this right here. So we find that, and after that she shall go. Now, let's go back to this betrothal just a minute. Listen, now the custom was, if I understand it right, the price has been paid. The bride has brought her dowry. You know what? What was the first thing that began to happen there? If I understand it right, there was a washing took place. Called a ritual washing. Now, if you want to look this up, all you got to do, and I'm sure not no computer whiz, I'm glad to somebody pulled it up for me on the internet. Jewish customs, look it up. It's there. You can see about it. Don't have to take my word for it. Fact of it is, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to look it up. But there was a washing that took place there. Now it was symbolic of a spiritual cleansing, really. Now I want you to get this. Now you see how this boy, I like it. It's getting better all the time. You know what happened the night I got saved? I got washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You know what happened when I joined the church, when the Lord beat me to death and made me join Greenfield Missionary Baptist Church? That church took me and baptized me. And you know what that baptism represented? It represented the old man had died to sin, been buried in a liquid grave and raised to walk in newness of life. You know how what Paul said in Acts one time? He said they told him, as I believe it was Ananias said, arise now, Paul, and wash away thy sins. Be baptized and wash away thy sins. I think that's in about the 22nd chapter of Acts. Listen, boy, these people believe in baptism or regeneration. Love that scripture. I want you to know that. But you know what that means? You know how baptism washes away sins? You get this. The only way baptism can wash away sins is in a symbol. That's the only way, symbolically. It shows already what's happened to the inward man. The inward man's done been saved. And then it's a requirement there before you can unite with the church. That's right. So, they had this ritual washing then before the betrothal became official. Well, there was something else there. Listen, boy, I like it. Listen, did you know tonight when I joined and I said the Lord beat me to death? Yeah, He did. Took me 2 years to tell about being saved by God's grace. Took me 2 more years to join the church at Greenfield. The Lord beat me to death and told me if I didn't join that night, there's going to be serious consequences. You can believe that or not. I do not, but I want you to know this, that I joined. And I'm glad I did. You know what I done that night when I joined that church?
And I was baptized and then became a member of that church. I agreed to that right there. That church covenant. Now we're talking about a covenant of marriage now. Between a man and a woman. Jewish custom. Well, I tell you what, when you united with Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, or when I united with Greenfield, and I'm a member at Lula, when I united with Lula, I agreed to that covenant right there. That's what I agreed to. I made a promise to do what's in that covenant right there. Just like this bride and groom, when they became betrothed, there were some vows that was repeated there. There were some promises that was made. And I tell you what, they promised to be faithful to each other. And I tell you what, tonight, we promised to do what's in that covenant. We agreed to it. What's it say? In the presence of God, when you presented yourself to this church, he was in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Some of the covenant says in the presence of angels. You believe that? I do. I believe there's angels present when the Lord, when God's people meets together. Listen. And it said, in the presence of this assembly, we most solemnly and joyfully enter a covenant one with another as one body in Christ. So you promised to do that. I did too. And I've come short, but I still promised it. Listen, that bride and groom made some promises. You know how that was? Boy, I like it. You know how that was sealed? You look it up. It's online. You know how they sealed them promises? Then in the beginning of the betrothal, talking about the bride and groom, the natural bride, Jewish bride and groom, they had a cup of wine. According to what I can find out. Now, whether that was the fermented kind or the just pure grape juice, I don't know. It don't matter about that. What matters about this is they sealed that with this cup then. And I want you to know that if you get this now, when you join the church, what comes? It comes in this order. There's two ordinances in the Lord's church. It's baptism and then what? The Lord's Supper. Brother, we're betrothed.
Amen.
We're in that situation of being betrothed right now. You know what? Boy, I like it. You know what's going to happen here? Well, let me get something else here. Let me get something else. What the Bible say? The Bible said as many as in the book of Galatians, letter 3 and about 27, I think it is. I may be off on that a little bit. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when you join the church, listen, I want you to know that you dressed yourself up like Jesus. You're supposed to. You put on a garment, so to speak. You already got the robe of imputed righteousness on your heart. But you put on a garment as a church member. Now, I've got ahead of myself just a little bit. I need to go back. So when this betrothal started, I don't know how long I've been going here, but it's just going to have to be. When this betrothal started, where did the groom go to? He went back to his father's house. Boy, I like it. To his father's house. What'd he go back there for? Boy, I like it. John 14 said, in my father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. Let me tell you what. The Son of God has set His church up. He died for the church. And brother, He's gone to make ready a place for us.
Amen.
The Jewish custom was the groom went to make ready a place for the bride. Boy, I like it. Boy, it's getting better all the time. Listen, what's the bride supposed to be doing? Well, she's preparing herself. She's getting her garment together. She's getting ready to become a wife here about 12 months later. Well, the Lord's been gone how long? A good while. Almost about 2,000 years. Maybe not quite that. But I tell you what, the church is still building. And tonight, you and I, as members of the church, as a whole and as members, brother, we better be preparing ourselves for the bride.
Amen.
Now, the Lord got me ready to go to heaven when He saved my soul. But if you want to be of the bride, you've got to get yourself ready.
Amen.
Listen. I want you to get this. I want to get this scripture right here. You may disagree with that. If you do, that's fine. Listen, I won't give you this scripture, boy. I like it. That's where, yeah, he's gone and made really a place for us, brother. That's what he's done. That's what he's doing. And we're supposed to be trying down here to serve him. We're supposed to be trying to reserve this hour, man, for a sacred use. That's what, I tell you what, when we got saved, we got sanctified inwardly. But if you want to be sanctified outwardly, and the word sanctified means to reserve for a sacred use. It means to make holy. We're supposed to make this outward, man. We can't be perfect. Don't you ever believe you can live above sin, this flesh, because you can't. But we're supposed to be as holy as we possibly can be. Be as separate as we possibly can be. Be as Christ-like as we possibly can be. And I won't give you the scripture. I'm going to hurry on here. Listen to what he said. 5:26, the Ephesian letter, you've heard it many times, no doubt. But listen to what the scripture said, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And I want to tell you right now, that washing of water there, I do not believe is baptism, but I tell you what I think it is. It's a cleansing that takes place when we then reserve this outward man for sacred use. We clean our act up. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to clean our act up. We're supposed to be more Christ-like. And I'm not saying we're not going to fail, because I have. But we're supposed to do the best we can. I tell you, the key to it, I think, is to be honest with the Lord. Are you honest with the Lord tonight? Be honest with God. If you make a mistake, be honest with Him. That's what we need to do. If we're wrong, be honest with Him. Get it straightened up between you and God. If it's something the church needs to get straightened up in the church, get it straightened up in the church. Be honest with the Lord. Hey, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Just don't be too proud to admit we're wrong. There's some it's too proud to admit they're wrong. But he listened to this. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, having not spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It should be holy and without blemish. So I tell you what, in this life, we're going to pay for what we do wrong.
Amen.
So we need to get things straightened up. That's what the bride was to do. She was to get ready for the wedding. Now I'm going to get another scripture here. Boy, I like it. I like it. You know, you just got your lifetime in this world, from the time you get saved, join the church, you just got that lifetime to get ready for heaven. I'm talking about to be in the bride. That's what I'm talking about, to please the Lord. You got your lifetime. And we need to be about the Father's business. You know why? Because this life passes away quick. I didn't used to see that way. I thought I had plenty of time. Listen, I tell you what, the older you get, the more you realize how fast it goes in this life. Better think about that. Young people, think about it. Need to be about the Lord's business. Listen, I want to give you a scripture. I want to prove to you in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. Listen to what this said right here, 7th verse. He said, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and what? His wife hath made herself ready." That's what the bride, the natural bride, was to do. Get herself ready. So, you know what the Lord said? He said of His coming. You know how it was in the Jewish custom when the groom got ready to come? Nobody knew when. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? Said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." They didn't know. We don't know when the Lord's coming. We know He's coming. We know the end's coming. We don't know when He's going to come get us as individuals. He's coming. But listen then, "Behold, the bridegroom coming." Listen. The wife has made herself ready. So, what happened then? Well, when the Jewish groom come to get his bride, he went to the house where she was. And there was some of her attendants was there. He had his people with him. You know what? Some of them people that was with him, they'd say, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And then he would take her back to a prepared place. And that marriage would be finalized, consummated, so to speak. And then, brother, there'd be a feast. It's what they'd be. 7 days, I believe, is what the Jewish custom said. Listen, Jesus is going to come. Let me read this scripture to you. Somebody would cry out, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming." Boy, we need to get ourselves ready. Was it the church? I believe it was the church at Sardis, if I'm not mistaken. I could be off on that. What did the Bible say about the church at Sardis? Said they had a name, they were alive, but they were dead, is what the scripture said. The Lord said, "There's some of y'all that's defiled your garments. But there's some of you that's will walk with me in white, for you're worthy." Listen, we don't need to defile these garments. God's people can defile this garment, this church garment. We can do that. Being dressed up like Christ, we can defile it. If we get it defiled, we better get it straightened up. Oh, I tell you what, it'll be like it was with Mary and Joseph. What did Joseph say? He thought she'd done wrong. I'll put her away privately. If we don't get that garment took care of, get that defiled garment, get it straightened up with the Lord, as far as the church is concerned, hey, He'll put us away privately. We won't be part of that bride. Listen, I will give you a scripture. I tell you what, I like it. I like He's gone to make a place for me. Boy, what is it going to be? I tell you what I believe it'll be. I believe it'll be a new heaven and a new earth. I believe there's going to be a city. The Bible said that John saw a city coming down from God, adorned as a bride for her husband. I want you to know, I believe when He gets her done, brother, we're going to move in. I don't know when, but we're going to move in. God knows. We're going to move in. Let me give you a scripture. Boy, I like it. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, listen to what this says. This you've heard this many, many times, y'all have. It's still the truth. It won't change, but listen. For if we believe, let's back up 13th verse of the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now I'm going to tell you, this preacher believes in a general resurrection of the just and the unjust. Now you can believe it. There's two resurrections 1,000 years apart if you want to. I don't believe it.
Amen.
And I don't believe the Bible teaches it.
Amen.
I believe in a general resurrection of the just and the unjust. And I'm proved that by the Scripture. Now you listen to this. "For the Lord Himself," yeah, God's going to say, "Son," boy, I like it. He said He's going to say, "Go get my bride," or your bride. And brother, He's going to come. The sun's going to go out. The moon's going to turn to blood. This place is going to pass away. There's going to be a resurrection take place. And then He says here, listen to what He said, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." What's that voice going to say? Don't know for sure. But it could be, I'm just saying it could be now, "Behold, the bridegroom comes." It could be. I don't know that. But boy, it'd be fitting, wouldn't it? And we'll see the Son of God coming. You'll see the brightness of His coming. The Bible said every eye will see Him. That's these people out here on Knowlesville Road, too. Every eye will see the coming of the Son of God. Boy, I like it. Listen, I'm sure glad I know Jesus. You're talking about a terrible time for people in this world. It'll be a terrible time. It's a terrible time now when people die without the Lord. But you're talking about a terrible time. The word terrible don't even cover it. But listen to what it said. "The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So, boy, I like it. I like it. I'm going to tell you now. Listen, that old preacher tell me one time, the closest relationship that you'll ever experience, well, maybe besides knowing the Lord and the free pardon of sin, I'm talking about a physical relationship, is the relationship between a man and his wife. And brother, when it's right, it's a special thing. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be a special thing. We may rise to meet the Lord in the air. You're talking about a finalization of this marriage? You're talking about a union of this, a spiritual union? But I'll tell you what, you ain't never seen nothing like being with the Lord. I'll tell you that. And then what's going to happen? He said, let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. The bride hath made herself ready. Now I won't get another verse of Scripture. And listen, it said here, back up here, in just a minute of time, ninth verse, go on down. He said to me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Some just be there, but boy, some will be there in that bride. They sure will. You talking about a marriage feast, brother. We have receptions down here. In the Jewish custom, it lasted 7 days. I tell you what, you talk about an eternity being with the Lord. And they'll move in. Most people, when they get married, they'll get them a house. And they'll move in. Well, we're going to move into a city. And the Bible said that God and the Lamb is the light of it. Said there's a river. Boy, I like it. Proceed from that throne, pure as crystal. Said that on each side of that river, there's the tree of life. And I don't completely understand that, but I'll tell you what, tonight, you talk about a blessing, it'll be a blessing. It sure will. May God bless you. May God help you. You study this. Don't take it because I said it. But you study it out. Boy, I like it. I know, I'll tell you what. The Lord is a taking care of business tonight. He's taking care of business here. And brother, He's taking care of business there. And He's making ready us a place. And He's going to come get us. We ought to really be willing to try to do for the Lord.
Lord help.
He's done so much for me. More than I could ever. Ain't no way I'll ever be able to repay the Lord. Can't do it. But maybe we can just do a little. That'll be helpful in His cause. You study this. I won't tell Mount Calvary Church. I don't remember right now where I told you I appreciated the appointment or not. If I did, I do. If I didn't, I do. I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. Been good to be here. If it's all right, we'll have us a song, have us a Christian handshake, brother. It's yours.